The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we trust that we shall have something to bring you today that will be of real profit. You know what comes to us from God's precious word, if appropriated, ever and always produces profit. And we can say, in the main, it produces not only profit, but it produces pleasure. Pleasure now, and the pleasures that know no end. Now, I'm going to read to you from the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. And we're going to say a little about God's perfect will. And then we're going to say a little about His grace, a little about His blood, His glory, His calling, His power, and His body. It's found in this very first chapter. Shall we read then, beginning at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then we shall read a little bit further on, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And then if you go down to about verse 9, we would read, having made known unto us the mystery or the secret of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Christ. Now may God bless the reading of His own most holy and sacred word. We're going to say now a little first about His will. You know, in this chapter, His will is expressed in a very definite way. His choice, for instance, of the great Apostle Paul, and this choice was by the will of God. It wasn't that the Apostle Paul, you know, said one day, I think I shall decide to mend my ways, and I'm here on out, I'm going to be a Christian. No, but even right in the midst of his hatred and the bitterest persecution that he could possibly wage, the God of heaven appeared to him, and it was the will of God that he should be reached and become an apostle. And as we have stated again and again, that he was an apostle by the will of God, an apostle by calling. You know, it's interesting to know the will of God. Perhaps some of you will remember, and I'm sure you will, and if you have ever gone to Sunday school or services of every kind, you perhaps have helped others to chant the so-called Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and so on. But you know, in reality, that is not the Lord's Prayer. That is the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer being found in the 17th chapter of St. John. However, there's one thing I'd like to notice with you in the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught the disciples, and it is this. Embodied in that interesting and certainly wonderful prayer, he says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, there's no need in you praying today to God that His will be done on earth, because it just isn't going to be. Things are waxing worse and worse, and as we turn in any direction, every direction, we see the very opposite of the will of God. You can be sure it is not God's will that nations should rise against nations and peoples against peoples. This is contrary to God's perfect will, to His will. The day's coming, however, when the prayer that He taught the disciples will be literally fulfilled. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I'll tell you what you can pray now. You see, His will never be expressed until first He shouts His people home to be with Himself, and then He's going to take up His dealings with the world and set things right everywhere. But I'll tell you what you can pray, and I'll tell you what you should pray if you are a Christian. You should be praying to Him, Thy will be done in me. Oh, to be in the perfect will of God. Just imagine a man or a woman, boy or a girl, living in a scene that's hostile to God, where we see rebellion and where we see sin rampant on every hand. To think of being as an individual, and or even as a company of His people, in the perfect will of God. And so our prayer to Him should be day by day, Thy will be done in me. And that's what he desires. Now, in case there are some listening in who have not as yet been reached and saved by the grace of God, I want you to know the will of God. In a letter, it's what we call one of the pastoral epistles. It was written by Paul, our apostle, to his son, Timothy, in the faith. And when he wrote to his son, Timothy, in the faith, he was telling him somewhat about the will of God. And so, among other things he had to say was this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, I want you to know that it is the will of God today, that you might be saved, that you might become one of His children, one of His very own. Then you'd be able to say, "Redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His infinite mercy, God's child, and forever I am." Now listen, to receive Him would put you, let me stress, in the circle of divine favor, in the family of God, and of course, in Him, in Christ, forever. Now, we shall proceed just a little bit further. The moments are swiftly passing by, but there are a few things I think would be nice to point out to you. We get in verse 5, His grace. We've said a little bit about His will, and we shall say now a little bit about His grace. You know, when you speak of the grace of God, that's a subject that could never possibly be exhausted. And every person who has been reached and saved has been saved by grace. And then, not only that, not only grace in salvation, but grace in preservation. Grace is my teacher day by day. And we learn the wonders of that grace. Oh, you think of that grace today that reaches down and would pick up the vilest offender who simply believes. That man or that woman who would own in the presence of God, "I am a sinner, and I'm unfit for heaven, and I deserve to be banished from His presence eternally." But God in grace is reaching. Now listen to this. "Where sin abounded," said Paul, "grace did much more abound." And we'd like you to know just a little of the triumphs of that grace. That grace that can pick up the worst sinner that ever was and instantaneously put him into the family of God and give him a guarantee or give her a guarantee, thank God, that they never, never can be lost again. Oh, yes, God's salvation is eternal. You know, even Dr. Solomon spoke about it. He says, "What He doeth is forever." And you see, when a work is done by God, you can be sure that it will never again need to be repeated. And I'll tell you why. You see so many professions and then folks go back into the world and find their delights where they once did. Now listen, "What He doeth, it is forever." Never needs to be repeated again. And when a man or a woman is reached by the grace of God, tastes of that grace of God, they're forever after spoiled for this world. And their delights then can only be found in Him. Oh, how wonderful to have a link with the God of heaven. How wonderful to know a little of that grace, the grace of God that brings salvation to all men, hath appeared. And we thank God, some of us today we can say, we thank God for the triumphs of His grace. And you know, I like that. Oh, how wonderful to think it's His. And in this wonderful epistle, the very first chapter, you have pronouns, personal pronouns, He and His and Him, again and again and again. How precious they are. And it's wonderful to know His will. It's wonderful to know His grace. And then if you look down at about verse 7, and we'll have to hasten along, we read, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Now listen what he says. "According to the riches of His grace." Now stop just a moment. If grace alone would save the vilest offender who truly believes, who rests in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and would instantaneously be transferred out of the family of Satan into the family of God, out of darkness into life, out of death into a state of spiritual life. Now, if grace alone would do that, I'd like to ask my hearers today, what would be expressed in the riches of His grace? You know, this epistle abounds with superlatives. And it's very, very interesting. And, one has said, when you read the Bible, you mind the little words, mind the wee words, as a Scotchman puts it, but it's all important. And so we're thinking now just a little of the riches of His grace. Now will you think just a little for a moment of what we have in the first part of that seventh verse, which says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You know, Peter speaks of it in his epistle in this way. He speaks of it as the precious blood. And by the way, you read that expression, the precious blood, but once in the Bible. And oh, how precious is that blood. I'll tell you what it would do. If today you come in all your guilt and all your sin and take refuge under the precious blood of Christ, put faith in His accomplished work upon Calvary's cross, you'd be saved, you'd be cleansed and fitted for heaven, clean every whit, and as fit for heaven as God could possibly make you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him today as your own personal Savior. Now, drop us a line, please. We'd like to hear from you in care of the station to which you're listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.